welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, October 15th. Happy Saturday. Hope you'll get to do some football watching today. And I'm reading from the New International Version. We're picking up in the story of Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 33 through 40. I feel like this is probably the most popular story that we know about Gideon. It's the putting out of the fleeces. All right, here we go, starting in verse 33. Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground around it is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew." That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Now I wanted to read a note from my study Bible and then discuss with you. It says, although God promised to save Israel through Gideon, Gideon is unwilling to take God at his word. Instead, Gideon must have a tangible sign to believe. The two signs involving the fleece that Gideon seeks are utterly unnecessary and speak to his unbelief. Ironically, Gideon is clothed by the Spirit, but must have tangible signs that involve a piece of clothing, a fleece. Gideon prefaces the request by saying, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised." Gideon is the first person in the Bible to request a sign from God. Normally, God initiates signs, and he does so not by request, but by design. Since God said he would save Israel, why does he perform the requested sign? God performs the sign with the fleece because he intended to save Israel. He will not let Gideon's unbelief derail his plan. No character in the Bible receives more divine assurance than Gideon, yet none display more doubt. Well, I think that's pretty harsh. I don't know. I just resonate with Gideon, don't you? We know that we are clothed with the Spirit of the Lord, and yet we need God's reassurance often. Now, as I pair this with the New Testament, I know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were out there looking for signs. And Jesus said the only sign he would give them was the sign of Jonah, which meant that he would be buried and then on the third day he would be raised again. So these people were out there kind of looking for a sign, almost in spite of Jesus, to disprove him in some way. But here, I think Gideon, although he knows God has empowered him, he just needs reassurance. Kind of like Moses. Remember when Moses was like, "Oh, I don't know, Lord, why are you sending me?" And so I think that this passage just helps us to have compassion for ourselves and for one another, perhaps. I want to read just one more part from an article on the Desiring God website. The title is How God Makes Us Mighty, and this is what it says. We are all like Gideon in our weak faith, But thankfully, God doesn't depend on our level of faith to act on our behalf. God depends on himself and his own strength and character. And from himself as the source, he strengthens our weak faith. One more paragraph. Knowing we're all Gideons will help us as we interact with the failures and weaknesses of others. God's strong character in his interactions with Gideon has shown me how weak my own character is when I'm faced with the failures and weaknesses of others. It's much easier for me to only rebuke, tell others how they can do better, and then move on. There is certainly a time and a place for gentle rebuke, but how often do we rebuke when the situation calls for patient forbearance, comfort, and encouragement? And so as we think about Gideon today, let us just thank the Lord for his patience with us and ask him to help us be patient with others. Okay, let's move on over to the psalm. Today we're reading Psalm 134. It only has three verses, so let us listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. And now let's turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. We'll be reading verses 1 through 33. In this section today, we have the parable of the wedding banquet, and then we have paying the imperial tax, and then finally a discussion of marriage at the resurrection. Beginning in verse 1, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servant went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.' Then the Pharisees went outside and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?' But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, 'You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax.' They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, 'Whose image is this, and whose inscription?' 'Caesar's,' they replied. Then he said to them, 'So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's.' When they heard this, they were amazed, So they left him and went away. That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her?" Jesus replied, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' And when the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching." Hey, thanks for listening along as we read God's word together. The parable of the wedding banquet is quite a curious one to me. And when I read in my study Bibles, there's words like perhaps or likely, and we don't really know, but perhaps the host in the wedding banquet provided clothing for those who had come right off of the streets. And maybe this was some kind of disrespect that the guest that came in showed the host when he was like, "No, I'm not going to wear the clothes that you gave me." The study Bible says this: "The failure of the man in question to avail himself of a wedding garment was an insult to the host who had made the garments available." But we don't really know. I think ultimately the point is that God does invite all to the wedding banquet. But as we know, that as believers, we're required to clothe ourselves in righteousness, which is appropriate with our name as little as Christ followers, as Christians, that we're required to be a people who show the world what it means to celebrate the resurrection. So it's interesting that clothing was described in the New Testament and also in the Old Testament, as we read about Gideon. And so I want us to pray that we would clothe ourselves with the armor of God, maybe the fruit of the Spirit, and that we would be gentle with others around us. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word, even when it puzzles us, Lord. We thank you for the parable. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be a people who are ready to come to the feast of the Lamb. Clothe us in your righteousness. Clothe us with the fruit of your Spirit, with love and joy and peace and patience, especially with those closest to us. Kindness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. I pray, Lord, that you would give us your armor, that you give us the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted in the readiness of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit. Lord, clothe us with your Spirit as you clothed Gideon with your Spirit. And when we are unsure, Lord, be patient with us, we pray, and help us to be patient with others and to comfort them and encourage them. And when others fail us, give us grace and help us when we fail others to be reminded that ultimately no one besides you is limitless. We all have our limitations, but you, Lord, do not. That is why you are God, and that is why we look to you. We thank you and we praise you, and we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.